Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to draw some things from reading Paul's letter to the Philippians. Kind of follows in one sense on from what was said last week. Certainly the same letter. Now, as extraordinary as Paul appears, in truth, he's no different to us. There is this kind of idea that the characters of the Bible, Jesus perhaps being the exception, although he was in his full humanity here on earth, that they're kind of the rest of the people in the Bible were a breed apart from us. Well, some of them, I'd want them to be a breed apart from me, actually. We kind of, you know, make them into something. I mean, some say they're saints. Well, you're a saint. The Bible is quite clear about that. You know, if you're a child of God, you're a saint. So if I ever call you a saint, don't turn it down. Just receive it. Say, thank you. I'm acknowledging what you are and who you are in Christ. So we have these characters in the Bible, and I would think that any of them, if you were to say to them, do you think that you're extra special? They would probably say, no. I'm just ordinary. I'm just like you. And it's very helpful because, actually, it's not so helpful if you don't want to be challenged. Because if they're people just like us and they did the things that they did, then that kind of makes a different spin on it, doesn't it? We're thinking about it. If there was a difference in respect to Paul, it lies in his ability to rise above the odds that confronted him. The ability to see beyond the present and to strive for the goal that God has set before him. He knew who he was and was convinced of the call of God had placed on his life. We too can have such a conviction. He writes, brothers and sisters, I know that I have not yet reached the goal, but there is one thing I always do, forgetting the past and straining towards what is ahead. I keep trying to reach the goal and get the prize for which God called me through Christ to life above. Life for Paul wasn't easy. In Acts 14 we read of a near disaster for Paul. Then some Jewish people came from Antioch and Iconium and persuaded the people to turn against Paul. So they threw stones at him and dragged him out of town, thinking they had killed him. But the followers gathered round him, and he got up and went back into town. And the next day he and Barnabas left and went to the city of Derbe. The taste of blood mixed with dirt and grit fills Paul's senses. This time he has been beaten badly. Every muscle in his body was locked and up in painful spasm. Stones thrown had reached their mark. Paul was in serious trouble. He couldn't imagine how he looked to Barnabas and to those who were now trying to move him to a safe place. The horror on their faces spoke more than what their lips could say. He had been stoned and left to die. Now, I think it'd be just a little bit of fun to speculate whether in fact he was dead. And what was it that the disciples, it says they gathered around him. Now, what were they up to? Well, we're not told. Part of me thinks that they prayed for his resurrection. I can cope with that. Certainly praying for his healing, whatever it was. Anyway, he'd get up and on with the business. Thoughts of giving up may have tempted him. But if so, only briefly. Even though he existed in between a conscious and unconscious state, Paul knew that giving in would mean defeat. He must not give up. As long as his lungs could draw breath, he must continue for the sake of the good news about Jesus, and most of all for the glory of Christ, his Saviour. Later he would write, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. Does persistency pay off? Paul believed it did. He had what it took. After the stoning, we read, he got up and went back into town. The next day, he and Barnabas left and went to the city of Derbe. Amazing. He went back into the very place where he had been stoned. Paul was persistent. God had given him a job to do, and he was not giving up. When we are faced with difficulty and hardship, our inner self is rarely enough to prevent discouragement. There must be something deeper, something that sustains and encourages us past any thoughts of fear and failure. For the Christian, the strengthening force is Jesus. Without his direction and the power, the temptation to think of abandoning goals is all too easy. But a God-directed persistence keeps us focused. Now, no one enjoys failure or disappointment. Just imagine what New Zealand would be feeling today if the score was the other way around. Don't want to go there, do you? How many of you were anxious nonetheless until it started to run up? I think many people. So no one enjoys failure or disappointment. Economies can be based on it. Paul did not enjoy public humiliation either. However, he viewed this horrendous deed and others like it as an opportunity to identify with Jesus. Paul knew that when Jesus was faced with the horror of the cross, he did not give up, so neither could he. The value we place on our goals will determine the strength we have to carry on. One of the basic steps of gaining and staying the course is learning how to stay motivated. Motivation creates the right atmosphere to reach our goals. It also provides the hope we need to stay focused no matter how difficult things have become. Paul's life was motivated by the memory of the Damascus Road experience. It was there that he met Jesus, remember, in that blinding light, and was commissioned for the work God had for him to do. The impact of this one event changed Paul's life forever. When we encounter God, our lives are eternally altered. We become more sensitive to his plan. As we spend time with him, our confidence grows, and with it a longing to know and experience him more, and that is the crux of it. The time we spend with him, our confidence grows. It's one of the interesting things that, and I mentioned this before, that I have with my tramping mate, Eric. We've travelled so many hundreds of kilometres together that we just have an intuitive ability to be there for each other in the difficult. Interesting, isn't it? The time you spend. And I think most of us could remember that and know that in respect to our life partners, our husbands or wives. It is a truth. And the more we spend time with Jesus, our confidence grows because the relationship is strengthened. And with it, the longing to know and experience him more. Paul wrote, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God." Are you hungry for God? Is there a passion for God deep within you? Like David, Paul was passionate for God, and this love motivated him when difficulties arose. And it was this love that kept him firmly on the right path. Each of us will face times of defeat and failure, and maybe major health issues. How we handle this is crucial to our growth and development. If we are easily discouraged, we will want to run away rather than to stay and work it through. We must realize that even in times of struggle, God has a plan. And part of that plan includes demonstrating his love and forgiveness. God may allow us to face heartaches and suffering, but in it we are faced with the choice of letting it grow us or eat us away. Now, I do not believe that it's God's will for someone to be sick and for all the bad things that happen. It was not in his original design and plan. You go back and read Genesis. And therefore, I have a resistance to say, well, it was God's will for me to be sick. I don't think it was at all. We live in a fallen world that's out of step with God, and bad things happen as a result. And because it's out of step in our humanity, in our fallen state, all of which we are affected by and entrenched within, sickness and death occur. Wasn't God's design. But he will work with us. And sometimes we see just amazing healing. But ultimate healing doesn't come for some until we are in heaven and in his presence. But the moment we go and say, well, is it God's will? It's not. We allow for doubt, and the enemy likes that. We must stand the course. God's will and purposes for life and for wholeness and for healing. Sickness and ill health and struggles and pain are all the product of the fall. And in Christ we have the pathway to redemption even in those. But sometimes the ultimate healing will not be until we stand in His presence. In the meantime, we pursue a heart after God and His righteousness, and we stay that course, whatever it may happen. And when things take hold of us, when heartache happens, when suffering comes, we are faced with the choice of letting it grow us or eat us away. We will grow if we let God sharpen our faith and strengthen our resolve to rely on Him more. See, I guess that's the trick, isn't it? If it's a trick, that's the issue. In my struggle, am I going to say, well, Lord, here am I. Use me in my brokenness. Become my strength, that I might stand the course. Or will I forget Him and get niggly and bad-tempered and all sorts of other things? Trouble, if we choose to, can cement us to the heart of God. It can be the means of strengthening the relationship. Just think of Thomas Edison. Every time we switch a light on, we should be grateful to him. Just think if he had become discouraged in his quest to harness electricity. He would never have created the light bulb. Then we really would be all in the dark or half light. Instead, Edison persisted. And after many tries and thousands of hours in the lab, the day came when he flipped the switch and the light filled the dark room. I've been trying to remember all day and over the time I've been preparing this what the quote was. But somebody said to him, look, you've done this 1,000 times, and why don't you just give up? You failed. He said, no, he said, I've just learned 1,000 ways not to do it. Well, how cool is that? I think that is, of course, the why he succeeded. Because he viewed it differently. He viewed what was happening with a different eye. He had motivation because he had a passion to reach his goal. Now, perhaps you've experienced recent setbacks or defeat. Thoughts of giving up have filled your mind. I want to encourage you not to give up. Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life and my life. Paul came to understand this. He said, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And you can too. Give God the opportunity to teach you how to keep going. Allow Him the chance to reveal Himself to you. And you'll discover the blessings He has stored up for you to enjoy. Lord God, when the chips are down and life gets difficult, we feel miserable or we feel sick or depressed, it's so easy to lose sight of You and to lose sight of Your call on our life and the strength You give. I want to pray today, Lord Jesus, that You'll come to each one of us by Your Holy Spirit and strengthen our resolve to stay the course, to be persistent, to allow whatever life will throw at us to become the means of celebration, become the means of strengthening our character and strengthening our relationship with You. Jesus, You know that that is really tough. So we cry out for You, for Your abundant grace to give us all that is needful in such times. We pray this for the triumph and the glory of Your name. Amen.